Please join me in prayer. Open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit. Still our busyness that we might hear and receive the message we intend for today. Amen. Our Old Testament reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 54, verses 9 to 14. Listen to the word of the Lord. This is like the days of Noah, just as I swore that the waters of Noah would never again go over the earth. So have I sworn that I will not be angry with you and will not rebuke you. For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed from the Lord, who has compassion on you. O afflicted one, storm tossed and not comforted, I am about to set your stones in antimony and lay your foundations in sapphire. I will make your pinnacles of ruby, your gates of jewels, and all your wall of precious stone. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the prosperity of your children. In righteousness you shall be established, you shall be far from oppression. Indeed, you shall not fear, and from terror, indeed, it shall not come near. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is the second week in our sermon series, Stone Upon Stone. The reading that we just heard talks about precious stones used for basic things, foundations of sapphires. Now we'll hear about another stone, a rock. Let's listen for the living word from Matthew 16:13-20. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Most holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. May your Spirit blow through us this day and open our hearts and minds to what you would speak. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Do you ever save the good stuff for later? Setting aside the special things for special times? I find myself not wanting to mess up new shoes if it's a rainy day. And so I put them in the closet and I wait for the rain to go away. And then it doesn't seem to be ever the quite right time. And then a few months later, I'll discover these shoes. Wow. A friend of mine told me we need to get past. We need to use the nice stuff. We need to wear the fancy things. We need to pull out the nice china. And we need to use all of that among our everyday friends and everyday events. After all, the foundations of this new city, after the flood with Noah, was going to be sapphires and precious gems in the gates. All the sparkly jewels pulled out because God loves us enough for the very best. So how did we get to this stone upon stone thing for July? What do precious gems have to do with the rock of the church? I love the imagery of the stones, and I love how they're woven throughout our scripture in many, many different ways. When you think of a foundation stone, we envision Christ. The rock of the church, Jesus tells us, is Peter. Isaiah used the imagery of those precious stones to tell us how important we were to God, to pull out the very best. So while the imagery carries through, it would have been even weightier in our scripture reading that we've heard today. In the setting where Jesus is with the disciples, Caesarea Philippi, it was near a cave at the base of a giant towering mountain, and it was a politically charged place. So this is not Jesus staying out of the politics of the world, I'm sorry. This is the town was a site of past shrines to the god Pan, and then more recently to the worship of Augustus Caesar. And it was even named in his honor. And later, Emperor Philip made it his capital too. So stopping outside of Caesarea Philippi and asking the people and then the disciples, who do you say I am, is a very charged moment. The emperors were worshipped as gods. This would have been a major threat to them, this Jesus guy. The emperors were in this seat of power, the place dedicated to past gods. So over time, temples were built one on top of the other. I went to Rome a year or so ago. Have anybody been to Rome, Italy? If you go there, they can't do new construction. And if they do, they have to do it fast because things are built one on top of the other. The layers, one on top of the other, and you hit a layer, and that's more important. You just stop because it's stone upon stone. The shrines and the temples and the important things all built on top of the other, nestled under each other. So think of this mountain, Mount Hermon. You're out in gorgeous nature, and you're standing upon the foundations of all types of stones, all types of things built upon each other. The powers of the day, past gods, worn buildings, buried, repurposed, and they all sit side by side in the wonder and awe of God's creation. And this is where Jesus asks a confession of the disciples. And Peter says it all. You are the Messiah, Son of the living God. Not a dead god or a past emperor. Not a pagan deity that comes and goes. For as often as he gets it wrong, Peter is right on the money here. And Jesus praises him accordingly. But he reminds Peter and all the disciples, this is something that you figured out on your own. Your faith and your belief come from the Holy Spirit and from God. Something no mere mortal flesh could figure out. Then Jesus tells Peter, you are the rock on which the church will be built. I can only imagine how intimidating being called the rock next to a giant cliff. Jesus continues, this church is going to be built upon that rock. And this is the first reference in all of Scripture to ecclesia, the first time church is ever mentioned. And the church is what's going to overcome death. So this church, Jesus is saying, is different from these other temples. It's different from what you had before. The rocks are of a different sort completely. This church is the people. We are the precious gems. Peter is the first rock upon which all of us are stacked. We jump to that last sentence in this, and I saw a couple of confused places. Tell nobody. There are several suppositions of why Jesus would have said this and wouldn't have wanted them to spread the word, but I think it relates to the verse right before. Because how in the world did the church start if no one was ever told? But rather than telling the world, they are supposed to show the kingdom of heaven. To be the stones with their actions that build this body of Christ. Telling with your actions, not with your mouth. As St. Francis said, it's no use walking anywhere to preach unless our walking is our preaching. And we hear that paraphrased, preach the gospel, and when necessary, use words. This isn't a casual suggestion. It's a charge from Jesus that we don't always get. So in verse 19, Jesus gives the keys of the kingdom to us and the disciples. As Mark Allen Powell says, Jesus Christ, God's Son, has chosen to be present in the church and to exercise his authority on earth through this community. We are not only called to build the same old on top of the new and top it up with the same thing we've always done. It gets worn out, and we're called to use our imagination, our intelligence, and our energy and love and get creative when the old ways of walking, the messages, are no longer working. Ecclesia, the church, it's us, the people. This is what God is going to build, God's people. How? Through us, with us, and in us. So how do we show the world this kingdom? In Romans, Paul tells us that we're not to think of ourselves as any better than another. We're to be transformed rather than conforming to the ways of the world. We are to be transformed into the church that God calls us to be. In the Old Testament, specifically in many of the Psalms, there's a reference to God's house, a dwelling place. Early listeners would have thought that this was a reference to a temple. We often think of heaven as a future place with a room for each of us, but a more accurate understanding of God's house or dwelling place is where God's presence is made manifest here and now. It can be as small as within you, within each of us, or it can be as vast as all of creation, taking everything in. Those giant cliffs, Peter, the diamond in the rough, even us. We're each to use all of our gifts for the whole body. That is, to use all we are, given through the grace of God, as Christ's church. We're not always going to get it right, even when we're trying our best. And that's okay. When we feel worn or tired, and there's nothing shiny about me, and we've given everything we can, look back to Peter. He goes this week in our scripture from being the rock of the church really, really quickly to being a stumbling block. And he's called out on the opposite end of that spectrum, even denying Christ. Jesus in this passage, however, knows that and still makes Peter the rock of the church. This bumbling, overly enthusiastic, clumsy guy who often blurts just the wrong thing, wants to build tents and stay in the moment, and denies Jesus. And even when he is rebuked, and even when he gets it wrong again and again, he keeps trying. He keeps going out and doing the very thing and working for Christ. And Jesus continues to see the hidden gem in Peter and in each of us and what we can be, especially together. God works in wondrous and mysterious ways. It's through this vast creation that we see God. Look at the creatures of the world. Some are so ugly that they're downright beautiful. Each one is equipped differently to fit its place in the world. And the same is true of us. We've been given the authority and the responsibility to bind and to loose and to carry God's living word. You may ask, who, me? Yes, you. Peter was that first rock. Look to him and be comforted in his humanness. And he was charged. When we feel anxious or like we're not enough, remember the rock of the church. From the very beginning was human and had faults, messed up again and again, even to that denial. We're called to see all of the stones around us as precious, not just the ones that we raise up and privilege above others. All of them, not just the jewels that society prizes. So how do we live to show that the gospel speaks to us? How do we live this every day? How do we make that living word flesh that we carry out to the world? We need to take care in how our actions are showing the church to the world. We need to pause and look into the eyes of others that we might have dismissed as ugly or outside the norms or unacceptable. We need to see the hidden jewels. Where do we see God looking back at us? From the very eyes that we least expect. From behind a fence? From in a cage in a swamp? From the gutter in the street? Or the latest homeless encampment? And how does this turn our perception of who we say Christ is on its ear? Pay attention to what you do, to what you see, and to how God is building the kingdom around us. For God is building, and the kingdom isn't our specs, stone upon stone in a pattern that's beyond our grasp. As Will Willimon says, we may come singing just as I am, but we will not stay by being our same old selves. He continues, the needs of the world are too great, the suffering and pain too extensive, the lures of the world too seductive for us to begin to change the world unless we are changed, unless conversion of life and morals becomes our pattern. We've been given the keys of the kingdom. Each day we choose. To God, you're a precious stone and an important component of this ecclesia. Make your body a living and holy sacrifice to God. When you're feeling worn, remember, we are all connected and founded on each other and all the way back to Peter. An interconnected whole, together as a church. A dwelling place that rests upon one another and depends on one another and takes that strength together. So one phone call, one hand held out, one note at a time, remind the world that all children are connected. All are precious. Maybe your protest isn't loud, but your love should be. When our networks and support structures need bolstering, only the church can step in. Build upon each other when the going gets tough. Look to those around you near and far to pick up the task and to carry it on from one another. We work together, and only together can we exhibit the kingdom and live up to this amazing charge. Together we're transformed and we're made into a new whole, a glorious one that reflects who Christ would want us to be. What kind of house are we building, stone upon stone? Not one built in haste, but one built with intention. One built with compassion. One built with care. Mercy. These things that society has forgotten. You are the ecclesia, Christ's body. Speak with your lives, your actions, your gifts, and faith that God has graced us with. For this is how people will see who is Jesus. Who is God? God is in each of us, from the old rugged rock to the pebbles and gems, and each reflect God back to one another in a wonderful and mysterious way. Together, stone upon stone, the church building on one another, Christ's body. Is this body still relevant today? Only if we fight for love to win. Show it with your actions in the name of Jesus Christ. Who are you saying he is today?